speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
The things that you do in life, are they important to you enough to where that you do them well? You want to make sure that you do those things right. It is said that anything that is worth doing well. Kids, as you are in school, we want to encourage you to do your very best, to pour your heart, soul, mind, and strength into your education, and to make sure that you do things right in order to maintain your integrity and so that you're able to get out of it everything that will help you then to be a productive citizen in and throughout the course of your life here. To the rest of us, as we are out here in the world trying to make a living and also trying to serve God, we want to encourage each and every one also to make sure that we do things as unto the Lord, that we do things in a proper way, that we pour our heart, soul, mind, and strength into making certain that God is glorified in our lives, making sure that everything that we do it right. In a much bigger way, but also as it connects with the things that we've already discussed, what about our salvation? Isn't it important to make sure that we do things well, that we do things right, to make certain that we have covered all of the bases that God expects of us, that He requires of us, in order for us to have our sins forgiven, and then also to make certain that we will someday be able to stand before Him in judgment as one of His children? You see, God identifies that someday this earth will be no more. That Jesus Christ, our Lord, is coming again. And He will appear in the air and there will be a great and glorious resurrection. And in that day, every single one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And in that day, every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. And every single soul, as we stand in the presence of God, we will give an account of our life. And the things that will matter will be if we have done things right in accordance to His holy and inspired Word. Are you saved by God? Have your sins been forgiven by God? The Bible identifies to us that all sin and fall short of the glory of God, that we sin in transgressing the law of God, either by going too far or not going far enough, in accordance to the things that He commands us to do. And whenever we violate His law, friends, the Bible identifies to us is that we stand separated from God. And as we are separated from God, then we need those sins forgiven. And this morning I ask, have your sins been forgiven by God? It's only something that He is capable of doing. And He does that through the blood of Jesus Christ, conjoined with our obedience to Christ in baptism. Have you taken the necessary steps in order to have your sin forgiven by God? But also, if you are a New Testament Christian, are you trying to live as God commands His children to live? Do you read and study from the Bible? And as you read and study from the Bible, do you take those things and implement them into your life? Do you do all that is within your power to do, to walk according to the steps of Jesus Christ, to emulate our Lord and Savior through your life? And as you're living your life, then do you strive each day to give glory to God? Do the people that you live in and around about in your household or that you deal with on a daily basis, do these individuals know that you are a Christian by the things that you say as well as according to the things that you do? Are you an individual that worries on a continual basis about the day of judgment? Do you question where you will stand with God in the judgment? And there are individuals who question where they will stand in the day of judgment who have no need to question. Why? Because they have been baptized into Christ and because they are doing all that is within their power to do to live the life of a New Testament Christian. And if you are in that category, we want to bring assurance to you today to see that God loves you and that because of the type of life that you're living, you should not worry about the day of judgment. You ought to live with anticipation to the return of Christ and looking forward also to that day, knowing that you will be found faithful before God and allowed to enter into the eternal reward that God has for His faithful in heaven. But at the same time, I would trust that there are individuals here today who constantly think about the judgment because they're not living their life right. Maybe they've not obeyed the gospel, and for that reason then they understand that they'll be lost whenever they stand before God. Or they are Christians, but they are living a life that is like the world. They're hypocritical in the things that they're doing. Maybe they're involved in a marriage that is not authorized by God. Maybe they're going out and drinking on the weekends or saying things that are ungodly. And they realize their conscience is pricked, but not to the point where they're willing to do anything about it because they continue to live in ungodliness. But yet at the same time, their conscience tells them, you're not ready for the day of judgment. If you were to die today, or if Jesus Christ were to return this hour, where would you go in eternity? Would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Do you know for sure where you are? Friends, I believe that God wants us to know where we will dwell eternally today. He doesn't want us to come to that understanding in the day of judgment. He wants us to think about these things today in the here and now. He wants us to study from His holy and inspired Word and to understand His plan of salvation and to obey that plan and to live in accordance faithfully to Him while we are here so that whenever we depart from this life, we know where we are going and we will have known that all throughout the course of our existence upon the face of the earth. I want us to think to begin with that there are some things that can serve as false guides. We've got to be very careful whenever it comes to our conscience. Why? Because the conscience is not always the safest guide. When we think in regard to ourselves, the way of man is not according to the way of God. We do not think the way that God thinks. And that can be very dangerous and devastating. Take into mind the Apostle Paul as we read concerning him in the book of Acts chapter 23 and verse 1. Paul says that up until that present time, his life in Christ, he says as he looks back over the way in which he was living his life, over the things that he was doing that was contrary to the will of God, over the things that he was doing that was in form of persecution to the Lord's church, he says, I did those things with a clear conscience. It felt okay to him. He thought that he was okay. He felt that he was safe. The friends God identified in his coming to understand the truth is that these things were a violation of God's law. And as a result of this, his conscience had led him to be lost. But friends, also this morning I want to encourage each and every one of us not to take what the preacher says to be the gospel simply because it's what a man who we think is an authority on the Scripture is standing in front of us and preaching and teaching. Preachers can be wrong. They can be wrong simply because they might misunderstand something, but also they might be wrong simply because they have a hidden agenda. Take into consideration Billy Graham. Billy Graham teaches that an individual is saved through a sinner's prayer, and that is not taught in the Scripture. And he does those things, admittedly, knowing that it does not line up with what the Bible says. One who is very popular today is Joel Osteen. And this past week on Facebook, I read that Joel Osteen had posted with regard to Moses and his faith and his personal experience in regard to the teachings of God and the people of God. And he submitted that Moses was able to experience first-handed witness where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been placed in the fiery furnace, as Daniel records to us. Friends, there's a problem with that. That was all after the life of Moses. He didn't know what he was talking about. He ended up taking his post down, and rightfully so. There may be individuals, and there are people out here in the denominational world and in the religious community who are teaching things that are contrary to the will of God. And even in the Lord's church, as I said, I make mistakes from time to time. And there are others in liberal churches of Christ who know what the Bible says, but they've gotten off. And therefore, we've got to be very careful about taking and simply following what the preacher says. But sometimes, often, we will see is that individuals will go in line with what their friends say. Maybe they've gone to college with these individuals, or maybe they've gone and they've been raised with these individuals, and they've gone to church with each other, and their friends are going off and doing things. Now, and simply because their friends are engaged in this one thing and or another, they feel okay because that's their friend. And because they feel as if their friend is not going to mislead or to misguide them. Friends, we need to understand is that our friendships in this world, these individuals might have been corrupted somewhere along the way. They may be blinded by the devil. And therefore, if we're allowing these blind guides to lead us, who also then would be blind to the truth, the Scripture identifies that we are subject to all end up in the ditch. It's interesting too. The Bible says much about the grace of God. God's grace is presented to us in the Old Testament Scripture. It is expounded upon and defined in clearer fashions in the New Testament Scripture. We understand that it's through the grace of God that you and I are able to have salvation presented before us. And it's only through the grace of God that we are saved, conjoined though, I might add, with our faith, obedient faith, to doing exactly as God commands us. Faith is essential, but it's not faith, or excuse me, grace is essential, but it's not grace only that's going to save us. It is grace working with faith. Grace instructs us how we are to live. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12 explains this to us. Friends, God wants us to know about where we stand with Him in this life and where we will dwell eternally in heaven. God has communicated His saving will unto mankind. Holy and inspired men are responsible for the conveyance of God's message to each and every one of us. As we read and study from the Bible, we're reading words that have not been given by mere mankind, but rather holy men of God spake as they were moved or carried about by the Holy Spirit. As we read from the New Testament Scripture, which replaces, which fulfills the Old Testament, which is the new and better covenant, which is the final will and testament of our Lord and God. As we read and study from the New Testament Scripture, friends, we need to understand is that God had used the Holy Spirit to place the mind of God into the mind of man and to use the language of those individuals as well as their experiences and connections with life to tell us His will and testament. And therefore, as we read and study from the Bible, we need to understand that we're reading from the mind of God. And the Bible then therefore offers us everything that we need to know as it pertains to life. Why is the world in a mess? As Brother Philip prayed, we need to be praying for our country to get back to God on a continual basis. It's only with God that we can survive as a nation and as a world. And we need to be praying that our leaders, God stands willing to bring us back, but that our leaders will help us to get back to God. And let's pray to that end. The Bible tells us everything that we need to know that will help us to be able to be successful in life, to be productive citizens in society. But friends, not only does the Bible tell us about our life here, the Bible tells us all things pertaining to godliness, about the eternal existence of God, and about the love of God, about the creation that God has bestowed or brought upon us, and about the salvation that God extends to us, about the worship that we engage in, everything from the things that we face in this life, those things are found in and through the Bible. Matters that are vital to salvation are simply stated in the Scripture. As I stand before you this morning, I admit there are some really challenging, difficult, hard to understand passages in the Scripture. And the Bible identifies concerning those individuals and those things. He says that unstable men twist them to their own destruction. In that, we can understand those hard things if we will read and study them in the context of which God has presented them. The problem is that oftentimes man wants to place his theology out there in trying to understand, and therefore you're not going to be able to understand if you approach the table with preconceived thoughts or notions. But if we approach the Bible, even those hard passages, by saying, I want to know contextually what's going on, he who knocks will find. He who searches, it will be revealed unto him. Matthew chapter 7, verses 6 through verse 8. As I stand in front of this morning, I tell you, the things that deal with our salvation, those things are stated very simply. Two-thirds of the words of Jesus are single-syllable words. Those things that are centered in and around salvation issues, matters of doctrine, those things are within the context of those single-syllable words. Why did God put it out there so plain? Because He wants us to understand it and then to obey it and to live in accordance to it. The message of the Bible gives us hope. Hope knowing that our sins are forgiven in Christ. Hope knowing that if we live our lives according to the will of God, if we do all that is within our power to do to please God, as Jesus Christ our Lord did, is that we have hope beyond this life of an eternal life in heaven with our God. And friends, the Bible tells us this hope we have as an anchor so steadfast and sure. We have an assurance of our salvation. And it's not once saved, always saved. But rather, it is that if we will live our lives according to godliness, God will do His part by imparting upon us salvation in the end. Only God's ways work. The ways of man stand contrary to God. Friends, we live in a world today where we're here in the flesh and we think about fleshly things. We're driven by a world that offers us all kinds of worldly things, and therefore we center our lives in and around the possessions that the world offers. In this, God identifies that these things will indeed destroy us if we will allow ourselves to be driven by them. Man's ways will ultimately end in destruction. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And Satan is constantly there introducing the broad way. And God says that there is a narrow way that leads into heaven, but a broad path that leads to destruction. And He says concerning the narrow way, He says, few there be that find it. But the broad way, He says, so many people choose that way, and so many people will be lost in the day of judgment. Jesus Christ is our only way for life. Friends, He's the only way that will give us a good life while we're here. But in the context of John chapter 14, verse 6, I believe He's speaking more in line of spiritual life. Only in Christ can you and I have hope of spiritual life and life eternally in heaven with God. The Bible identifies to us that Christianity is a system of faith based off of evidence. His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. But friends, also, not only do we have what the Bible says, we have those things that are external to the Bible, where that God has not left Himself without witness. He has given us evidence internally within the Scripture, and He supplies us with a wealth of evidence with regard to Him and His existence, and even His will outside, exterior to what the Bible teaches us. And God tells us that the most important thing is life, is not life itself, but rather it is about our salvation, understanding that our sin separates us from God, and also realizing that someday we will stand accountable before God, and that the only way that you and I can have the assurance of salvation is to be in Jesus Christ. And God says, get that if you don't get anything else out of life. Get that your life and salvation is really and truly what matters. God requires belief and obedience in Christ. Those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Friends, we must believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That is the core gospel. The gospel has a lot more to say, but the core, the center, the nucleus with regard to the message about Christ is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we need to understand this. Why? Because He is the first fruit. And there are more who's going to come off after Him in the day of resurrection. And therefore, we need to believe not only that He has existed, but that He has been risen from the grave. And now He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, ruling and reigning on high. But also, God wants us to believe 100% that He is coming again. And that our obedience in Christ is essential as to where we will stand in the day of judgment. Living faithfully to God assures our salvation. Are you completely confident about your salvation? If you were to die today, if Jesus Christ were to come during this hour, would you go to heaven or would you be lost eternally? God wants you to be saved, and He gave His only begotten Son to give you and me, all of us, a means of redemption. And friends, He's given us this hour that we might accept Him by confessing Christ to be the Son of the living God, submitting ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, so that we are therefore raised to walk in newness of life. It may be that we have erring Christians here today too. God stands willing and ready to forgive you of all unrighteousness, and we stand willing and ready to pray with you and for you, that you might be restored back into faith. Please come.